Did you guys see this a couple of days ago? Sorry. Oops, sorry. The unexpected never ceases to happen. I've been around for 25 years times two. And never in that lifetime of 50 years have I seen snow here in Houston like this. And it's been a year of a once-in-a-lifetime event. Some of them disastrous, such as the once-in-five lifetimes, the once-in-500 years flood and rains, some of them fortuitous, such as the Houston Astros in over 50 years never won a championship, and once in a lifetime they won, and of course snow in Houston. I've been associated with Houston for over 50 years and never have I seen snow like this, and miracles never cease to happen. And we're in the Christmas season, and as we enter into the Christmas season, we want to talk about the greatest miracle, the once in all of history, never to be repeated, the wonderful, incredible birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that was a great miracle, and yet the effects, the ripples of that extend even until today. You might be in here this morning looking for a miracle, looking for God to work supernaturally. Maybe some of you have something coming up called finals in this next week, and you want a miracle. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you just miraculously performed on your test? Or maybe there was a computer error, and there was a miraculous switch from that A-minus, which is considered an F in Asian circles, right, to the A-plus. Wouldn't that be a great miracle? Or maybe you're still out of a home and you need a miracle with those contractors. They really need to get going and get to work, and you're looking for a miracle. Or maybe as you approach the holiday season, there's strife in your home, strife in those extended family relationships, and you need a miracle in your relationship with those family members, perhaps even your very own spouse. And yet, as we look towards asking God to work miraculously in our lives, sometimes we're not sure if we really want that miracle, because oftentimes it comes with a condition or a cost. Well, as we approach Christmas, we're going to have three messages leading up to Christmas. And this morning, I would like to ask us, are you ready? Are you wanting God to work a miracle, to work supernaturally in your life? And as we start off this first message, we're going to look through the gospel, the narrative of Luke. So turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, as we look and ask, God, will you work supernaturally in my life, in our lives, here in the church? And we're going to start off in verse 26. Our author is Luke, and he is writing to Theophilus. He's writing actually Luke and Acts together. And we start off in verse 26 with the setting of in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Luke starts us off by connecting us to what he has just written. He says it's in the sixth month. Well, what is that referring to? It's referring to the sixth month of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, her pregnancy with John the Baptist. So right from the very start, we see that God wants to work a miracle because of the connection back to John the Baptist. If you remember, Elizabeth had a miraculous conception as well. She was old in age, and Zechariah was too. And so by connecting us back to John, we're going to see that this coming miracle is just as great or even greater than what we saw in John. We get more details that the miraculous is about to happen because we're told that the angel Gabriel was sent from God. This is not any normal announcement. And by putting it in the framework of an angel announcing it to us, we see that God is going to work. This is a message from God. I mean, again, what would it be like if the ambassador for the president of the United States was to show up at your doorstep and say, I have an announcement for you? That would be pretty incredible, especially if you liked the president. Well, we have something greater, a greater ambassador than the president of the United States. We have the president of the universe, if you will, the creator of the universe, showing up, sending his ambassador to your doorstep. So the stage is set for the miraculous to take place. Who is the miracle for? It's for all people. And we see that in the details of the narrative. We see that Gabriel was sent to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And with this detail, we get the sense that this is for the common person, because Nazareth and Galilee were more of a common person's place of residence. And sorry to those who may be Aggie fans, but Nazareth might have been like the College Station of ancient Israel. You know, not much going on here, except tipping a few cows every now and then. Well, this is for the common person. And it's also has more of a sense of for the non-Jew as we're in Galilee. Yet it's not only for the common person, but it's for the royal person. And we get this detail as we see in verse 27 that he was sent to a virgin engaged or betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. David being our primary Jew of history and also of the lineage of royal line. So who is the miracle for? It's for all peoples, commoners, royalty, Jew, non-Jew. And here is the announcement in verse 28. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Again, this is God wanting to bless, wanting to give grace. This phrase, O favored one, is literally the one who will receive grace from the Lord. There's that word again, grace, and the Lord is with you. So God is showing up. God wants to do a miracle in the life of the readers of Luke, in the life of Mary. And yet, there's a struggle, there's a tension, and we see that in verse 29, as the author tells us of Mary's response. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now, for those of us who study literature, who study stories, we understand that in narrative, sometimes we as the reader know a little bit more than the characters in the story. And this might be the case here. We know that this is an angel. We know that this is a message from God, but we're not so sure if Mary knows. You see, Mary, she lives in the small town of Nazareth, and she probably knows every guy in the town. And this stranger shows up to her, she's alone, and gives this greeting. Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And she doesn't know what to make of it. And so you might be in here this morning. You may have been coming to church for a long time. You may have just started investigating who Jesus is, and you may not be sure. Can I trust what this preacher? Can I trust what I'm hearing about Jesus? And part of what Luke wants to do is to assure us that, yes, this is not just some phantom, some stranger, but what you are hearing is truly from the Word of God and truly historical. As we look back, even in chapter 1, he tells us right here from the beginning that his whole purpose for writing Luke Acts is to tell them that we weren't following cleverly devised tales, fantasies or fairy tales, but we are writing down eyewitness accounts of what we have seen and heard, Theophilus, so you can be certain of what you're hearing is historical truth. And not only historical truth, but here by sending it through the angel, we're saying that this is from the Word of God. And so if you have been coming to church, sitting, listening, and you're wondering, is this from God? We want to assure you this morning that Jesus is not a fairy tale of Santa Claus. He is true, historical, and this is from God himself. And if you have questions, please, after the service, I want to invite you this morning to come up and talk to me or talk to Minister Randall or talk to a spiritual leader if you have questions about the reality of, is this from God or not? But moving on, we see the angel trying to comfort Mary. And he tells her in verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." There's that word again, favor. It's that word charis or grace. God wants to bless you. And indeed, you this morning might be looking for God's blessing, for God's supernatural work, for God's working in your life. And he indeed wants to give that to you. And yet, he may want to give you more than you're asking for, more than you're expecting. Look at verse 31. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Here we're starting to get a sense that Mary is going to get more than she's asking for, more than what she wants. If we think a little bit more back to Mary, Mary had a pretty comfortable life. She was a good Jewish girl. She was engaged to an upstanding Jewish man. I mean, he was probably just as good looking as Will, you know. And I know he just walked out, but that's okay, so I can pick on him. So she probably had a pretty good life. And if there was any anxiety that she might have felt, if there was any miracle that she would have wanted in her own life, it was probably a child. Because she may have been looking back just at her own cousin, Elizabeth, and seeing the difficulty, the struggle, the shame that Elizabeth may have felt. And she may have thought, oh, as I enter into this marriage, will I be like that too? Will I also be childless? I need God to work supernaturally to bless me with children. And God wanted to give her that grace. But, oh, did she get so much more than that? And we start to see that in the name of Jesus, that Yeshua is, it will be a child who will save as well, Joshua. But it goes on, and in verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. All Mary wanted was some children, a child. But the angel gives her that and so much more. You're going to get the Messiah. The great hope, the great longing, the great deliverer of all of Israel that we found prophesied in Psalm 2, Psalm 89, 2 Samuel chapter 7, where it talks about this ruler who will come upon the throne of David and rule forever. I don't think that here the Son of the Most High is necessarily referring to deity or divinity, but it's more of a messianic tone, more of a political ruler and deliverer. And we see this language in Psalm 2 and Psalm 89, where it talks about how the king is the Son of God. And we have that concept, right, in even in our Chinese language of the Son of Heaven, the Huangdi, right? He was always considered the Son of Heaven. And so I think that's more the sense of what we have here. But nonetheless, Mary's going to get much more than she bargained for. Because God wanted to work supernaturally in her life. And God wants to work supernaturally in her life, in your life. Now, Mary's still struggling. Does she want this? Or is this even possible? And we see this tension in verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The literal words here are, "I have known no man," in the original. "How can this be, Lord, since I have known no man?" And so Mary is sitting here and she's thinking, you know, angel, maybe she's getting a better sense that this is an angel by now. "Angel, now I've had the talk with my mom or with my mom and dad. You know, I've had the talk. Okay. I understand how babies are made. And I read the book and, you know, the mommy and the daddy, they have to get together. And, you know, angel, that ain't ever happened. That ain't ever happened to me or with Joseph or with any other man. I have known no man. So how can this be?" Well, our great comforter, Gabriel, does it again. And he responds to her in verse 35. He says, "Mary, no problem. I got it all figured out. You see, what's going to happen? Holy Spirit, he's going to come upon you. Power of the Most High overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And again, a reference, a messianic reference, a political, not necessarily divinity here just yet. And so Gabriel gives the answer, gives the solution that God will overshadow, that through the Holy Spirit, we will have this conception. So God will be working miraculously. Now, just in case you're wondering, and if you have friends who attack the virgin birth of Jesus, know that this is not a physical, intimate relationship between the Holy Spirit and Mary. This word here, the Holy Spirit come upon you, is the same phrase that's used in Acts chapter 1, where it talks about how the Holy Spirit will come upon the apostles. And so for those who might charge that, oh, you teach that the Holy Spirit had sexual relations with Mary, no, that's not what Luke is teaching at all. He's not teaching that any more than he's teaching that the Holy Spirit had sexual relations with the apostles in Acts chapter 1 and 2 when he came upon them. But this is a miraculous work of God. And yet, as God wants to work miraculously in Mary's life, as he wants to work miraculously in your life, supernaturally, sometimes we don't know if we want it. We don't know if we want to let God enter in. Mary didn't know if she wanted to let God show up and Jesus, the great Messiah, to be born in her own life. And if you were at the Christmas celebration, you saw that so beautifully depicted in Eve's and Jonathan's and Minister Randall's shadow skit. The struggle and the tension. And by the way, if you haven't seen that, you need to get the video that Minister Randall has and watch that. That was a beautiful description of the tension that Mary and Joseph felt as they would allow this to happen in their lives. The whispers, the gossip, the shame that people would have given to them. I mean, just think, you know, Mary, she was probably 13, 14, perhaps as young as 12. Think of those junior high bullying that she might have felt. Oh, look at Mary. Yeah, she's pregnant. And she didn't have a husband. Yet they weren't fully married. They were just engaged. They were just dating. They were just betrothed. Yeah. Think of all that she was facing from the bullying that she may have felt, and Joseph, and all the accusations and the gossip that would have surrounded him. But in addition, again, Mary, she had a pretty comfortable life. I mean, all she wanted to do was to raise a family, have her two cows, have her two camels, have her own two-story house, attend the synagogue on the weekend, and just coast out into the kingdom of God. I mean, what do I want to do? Why do I want the great Messiah inside of me? Why do I want to let God and Jesus rock my world? I mean, you know, life is happy here on the farm. And so it makes it that amazing when we see the response of Mary in verse 36 or in verse 38. Mary says, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done according to your word." So how great and how amazing was her obedience. Now, Mary may have gotten there from verse 36, where we're told, "Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." As Mary was struggling to know whether to accept this great miracle in her life. It helped that she could see God working in the life of someone else. She could see that God worked in the life of the elderly Elizabeth and conceived within her. So maybe God can work in my life too. And what God did in John's life, in Elizabeth's life, was great. But what he did in Mary's life was even greater. Hey, I'm going to give you a child in your old age. Well, with Mary and Jesus, we're going to go one up on it. I'm going to give you a child through a virgin. So friends, if you are in here this morning and you're not sure if God can truly work supernaturally in your life, I want to encourage you. Look at how he's worked in other people's lives. He can work in the same way in your life. My own wife believed and accepted and received Jesus into her life when she was in college. And one of the main reasons she did that is because she attended a Christmas event more than 25 years ago with other college students who had trusted and who had accepted Jesus. And she could see the peace, and she could see the joy, and she could see the love and how God was working in their lives. And she said, yes, let me call up one of those people. How can I also receive God's great work in my life? So friends, as we approach this Christmas season, let me encourage you. Let me challenge you to let Jesus work supernaturally in your life. Let Jesus be born in your life. Let Jesus be born in your life. And again, if you're in here this morning and you've been coming to church, but yet you've never truly let Jesus be your Savior, be your Deliverer, be your Messiah, I want to give you the opportunity this morning to walk up during the response song and talk to me or talk to Minister Randall. Mr. Randall, I want you to come up to the front during the response song and tell us that you want to receive Jesus into your life, to trust him as the one who has died on the cross for your sins and as your deliverer. Maybe you have some questions. Maybe you're still seeking. And I want you to come up and talk to us and tell us what you're wrestling with, if you're wondering if this is truly from God or not. And we have lots of resources to point you to that show that this is historical. This is true. This is real. You can trust the Bible. You can trust that this is from the Word of God. Maybe this morning you have already trusted in Jesus Christ, but you have not yet been baptized. And this morning, not that baptism gets Jesus into your life. It's through faith in Christ. But baptism is a great way, is perhaps the first way that we want to obey Jesus Christ. And you want to tell me, pastor, minister, I want to be baptized. You come up during the response song. Maybe you've already trusted in Christ. Maybe you've been baptized. And you just need to let Jesus fill your life and reign on your throne, just like he was going to reign on the throne of Israel. I want to invite you to come up and quietly pray or to talk to us about your commitment to Christ. And, you know, maybe God wants to work a miracle in your life, work supernaturally through the day-to-day grinds of life. If you're needing, you feel like you need a miracle in your school, in your final exam, maybe what you need to do is to look at God's ways. to see how God wants you to act and live so that he can work supernaturally in your life. And so for your final this week, we can just go back to the word of the Lord. May it be done according to your word, was what Mary said. According to your rhema, according to the word. And we found out that in Colossians, which we just studied, that as we go to school, as we go to work, we need to do our work heartily for the Lord rather than for men. And so we get guidance from the word of God so that he can work supernaturally in our lives. Maybe you're having trouble with your contractors. And so what is the word of the Lord so that he can work supernaturally in my struggles with my contractors? Maybe we need to go back to Colossians again, where it talks about how people that we employ, that we treat them with fairness and equality, because we have a boss in heaven. We have a master in heaven, too. Maybe we need to get guidance from what is the word of the Lord so that he can work supernaturally. Maybe we need to treat our contractors as outsiders, people who need to hear the gospel. And as we're working with them, you may think that you're just getting a house. But for God to work supernaturally in this situation, you're giving a spiritual house to your contractor by sharing the gospel and by conducting yourself with wisdom and with a Christian testimony. Maybe you're at home and you're not talking to a family member and you need God to work supernaturally in your relationship. And so we go back to the word of the Lord, even just Colossians. And we found out from there that we need to forgive our family member just as the Lord forgave us. And to start breaking the ice so that we can begin the process of reconciliation. God may want to work supernaturally in your life, in the day-to-day, the mundane, the daily grind. Will you let God work in your life? Will you let Jesus be born in your life? And yet, God may also want to work dramatically. Mary here, her life was going to be turned upside down by letting the great political leader come into her womb and be born. And her response, again, is miraculous. She says, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And as if God is going to stop pestering her, the narrator tells us the angel departed from her. And maybe God wants to work supernaturally in your life by you saying, "Lord, I open up the throne of my life and I will go anywhere. I will be anything. I will do anything for you." And what would your life look like if you could honestly tell Jesus that? You could honestly tell God, "Whatever you want, God, of my life, be it done according to your word. I am your servant." So if God wants you to stay in school, and by the way, he probably does, because you were supposed to obey the government and the Texas laws say that you have to stay in school till you're 18. So if he wants you to stay in school, then you say, "Yes, Lord, I will stay in school." And after you graduate from Seven Lakes or Taylor or Tompkins, and God wants you to keep going to college. You know, this is a wild idea. What, an Asian not going to college? Okay. Yes, if he does want you to keep going to college and university, you say, "Yes, Lord, I am willing. I'm willing to keep studying." But what if the Lord says, "I don't want you to go to college"? Would you be willing? Okay. "Oh, Pastor Wade, just what kind of pastor are you? Is he, you know, telling our children not to go to college?" I don't know. But are you saying, "I am the servant of the Lord. Whatever your word is, I will do it"? What if God wants you to keep living in your house for the next 20 years? Would you be willing? I will go anywhere and do any. But what if the Lord says, I want you to sell that house and go live in the inner city of Houston and minister to the underprivileged? And by the way, your children will have a better chance of getting into UT because you'll go to a less competitive high school and you'll reach that top 7%. Or what if he says, sell that house and go preach the gospel to the unreached? Would you be willing? Lord, I am your servant. Be it done to me according to your will. What if God wants you to get a job or to stay in your job where you're making six figures? Would you be willing? Lord, I am your servant. Whatever you want, be it done according to your will. But what if God says, you know what? Six figures is not what you need. Five is good enough. And lower five is okay. School teacher. Pastor. Can you say, I am your servant. Be it done according to your will. I want you to say that to God this morning. Whatever your will is, Lord. Missionary, engineer, doctor, pastor, pastor's wife. I'm willing to birth the Messiah. I don't think that's what God is going to ask any of us, by the way. But what if he did? I'm willing to birth four children, to birth one, whatever. So friends, do you want God to work a miracle in your life? I hope this morning that you've been encouraged to know that God wants to work. It is from God. He wants to work supernaturally in your life. And will you let him work supernaturally? Will you let Jesus be born in your life? You see, we needed a miracle. It was almost 20 years ago this Christmas that Vicki and I needed a miracle. I had just gotten to know this young maiden, Vicki Chen. We started a little dating, but we knew that to continue on, we wanted the blessing of our parents. Now, Vicki's parents, her dad, was and is a devout Buddhist, Taiwanese background. Here I am, Christian, furthermore, pastor. And you know what some people can think of pastors, you know, they're Buddhist. I think they are like the monks in the Buddhist religion who really can't do anything else with their life. So they go into, you know, being a monk or being a pastor or whatever. So we needed a miracle to keep going in our relationship. And we knew that. And it was 20 years ago before a Christmas service at Houston Chinese Church. And we walked up to the front and we talked with Pastor Fred Tao. And we asked Pastor Fred Tao to pray for us, because I felt like I needed to approach Vicki's dad to ask for his support and blessing for us to continue the relationship. So we needed a miracle. We asked Pastor Fred to pray for us. He prayed for us, and I set it up. Will, are you taking notes? Okay, I set it up to talk to the dad. All right, I think it was Christmas Eve. Went over to the house. Candy was out on the coffee table, which was a good sign, by the way. Now, mind you, I'm 30 years old, okay? And I'm asking for permission to continue this relationship. And so I get to the house. Candies are on the table. Now, Will, you always start with the positive, the affirmative. So I go in and I say, Mr. Chen, you've raised a wonderful daughter. But, and God, I didn't say God. We've gotten to know each other, and we think that our relationship might lead to something long term. I don't know if I use the M word or not. Okay. But, and I said, but we really want the support of our parents. And so I'm coming to talk to you if I have your blessing, your support to continue dating Vicky with the hopes that we could get married. Now, Mr. Chen, before you say anything, I need to let you know that I really think that I'm supposed to live overseas for a good portion of my life. So, if things work out, I might be taking your daughter to China, and we might be there for 20 years. So, just want to let you know that. Laid it out there on the table, and I just want to know, do we have your support? Well, the mom is somewhere in the background, and I hear, support, support, support. I'm thinking, wow, yes. But as I look at Mr. Chen, he looks at me, and he says, she's an adult. She can do whatever she wants. I said, thank you, Lord. Not quite the blessing I was looking for, but permission is acceptable, and we will continue. And so, so praise the Lord. So God worked the miracle that evening, but I just wanted a wife, and she just wanted a husband, but we got so much more than that, and the rest is history, as you can see by our wonderful, darling four children, and everything that the Lord has done in our lives. You know, but the miracle was not only that Mr. Chen gave and Mrs. Chen gave their support, but the miracle was that Vicky Chen, who had a comfortable life, that she could have worked as an engineer here in her home country with her to this and to that and to this, that she was willing to let me come into her life and rock her world. And she was willing to let Jesus come into her life and rock her world. And because she let Jesus and me, not that I'm Jesus or anything like that, but she allowed us to come into her life and rock her world, the world has been rocked. The world has been rocked by Miss Chen and people who is now Mrs. Lim, and people halfway across the world who don't have a Christian church around them for hundreds and hundreds of miles have heard the gospel and have been impacted by Jesus Christ. So friends, let Jesus be born in your life. He will rock your world, and he will rock the world. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you. You are a supernatural God. And we thank you that you don't want to just leave us in a state of comfort. But you want to do great things in our lives. And you want to do great things in our church. So we invite Jesus to be born, to fill our lives. And we pray in his name. Amen. If you have not yet trusted in Christ as your Savior, as the Deliverer, during the response song, you come forward. Your coming forward could be to say that you want to trust in Christ. Or it could be to say that you want to learn more. You have questions. You come forward, you talk to me, Minister Randall. Maybe you want to come forward to say, I want to be baptized this Easter. Or I want to explore being baptized. You come forward. Maybe you want to just come forward on your own and pray a commitment that, God, I will open up my life to you. You come forward and you pray right up here on your own, or talk to me or Minister Randall.